the Public News Service Daily Newscast for December the 2nd, 2021. I'm Mike Clark. Michiganders mourning the loss of four students after this week's school shooting at Oxford High School. Advocates say prevention measures to tackle the epidemic of gun violence are long overdue.
The Oakland County prosecutor announced on Wednesday that the accused gunman, a 15-year-old student, will be charged with first-degree murder and terrorism. In addition to the deaths of Tate Meir, Hannah St. Juliana, Madison Baldwin, and Justin Schilling, seven others were injured. The Reverend Dr. Sid Moen, with Interfaith Action of Southwest Michigan, notes that firearm deaths are the leading cause of death for adolescents.
We cannot allow ourselves to be numbed to gun-based violence, and we need to respond with more than prayers and thoughts, but with actions.
Moen adds that in Lansing, there have been numerous legislative proposals around stopping gun violence, from investing in education and prevention programs to incentivizing security measures to keep guns away from kids and teens. But they have been stalled because of a lack of bipartisan interest. I'm Lily Volke reporting.
This was the 29th school shooting in the U.S. this year. That's according to Education Week. Reuters reports a conservative Supreme Court justices Wednesday signaled a willingness to dramatically curtail abortion rights in America and perhaps overturn the landmark 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling that legalized the procedure nationwide. Reuters notes the court, which has a 6-3 conservative majority, heard about 2 hours of oral arguments in the Southern state's bid to revive its ban on abortion starting at 15 weeks of pregnancy. Several regional groups rallied in Minneapolis Wednesday, demanding that state leaders take action to reflect the sacrifices made by frontline pandemic workers.
This fall, the legislative working group failed to come to an agreement on distributing $250 million in frontline worker pay. Republicans insist on divvying up bigger checks to a limited number of workers, while Democrats have pushed for a wider range of recipients, even if the payments are smaller. Angie Helseth is a caseworker at the Lino Lakes Correctional Facility who worries about being left out despite her commitment during the crisis.
We were used to take temperatures and vital signs. We made meals. We actually received duty belts and training to cover officer posts when we were so short-staffed.
I'm Mike Moen.
Some Republican members of the working group say while they heard many of these stories, they feel the money should go to those who had direct contact with COVID, such as healthcare workers. This is PNS. In a 4-3 decision this week, the Wisconsin Supreme Court backed a least change approach to redistricting in the state. More now from Jonah Chester.
The decision means the court will likely make minimal alterations when drawing Wisconsin's new legislative and congressional district maps. While the ruling is an important milestone in the redistricting process, Fair Elections Project Director Sachin Chetta says the battle over these maps is far from over.
They still have to develop and implement a map from the state court perspective, so they still have to come up with a map, and that will still take a few weeks, even maybe a couple of months.
Wisconsin's current district lines, which were drafted in 2011, have been criticized since then by anti-gerrymandering groups. The Princeton Gerrymandering Project, a nonpartisan watchdog initiative, has given the Republicans' new proposals a failing grade for favoring GOP candidates.
You may recall the 2020 census data came late this year. That means a compressed timeline for updating the district boundaries. President Biden's Build Back Better Act includes reforms for oil and gas production on public lands, and they were first introduced by the Reagan administration.
Pagad Jalali with the Colorado Fiscal Institute sees the reforms as an opportunity to hold companies accountable for environmental costs and to fix a program that a recent Department of Interior report found to be outdated and broken.
It benefits oil and gas companies and harms public lands and habitats and exacerbates climate change and puts huge financial burdens on communities and taxpayers.
Taxpayers lost out on more than $12 billion in oil and gas revenues between 2010 and 2019, according to analysis by Taxpayers for Common Sense. Build Back Better would increase royalty rates that companies pay for extracting resources on public lands for the first time in more than 100 years, a move industry groups say would increase costs and limit production. I'm Eric Galatas.
Finally, Emily Scott tells us after community pushback, Everett Community College has paused plans to close its early learning center.
Parents and employees were notified last week through a letter from the college saying that a review of revenue and expenses shows the program is not financially sustainable. Prior to a Tuesday night Board of Trustees meeting, the college sent a letter to the community saying the board will work with state and local leaders to find permanent funding. Michelle Doron, whose three-year-old daughter attends the center, says the program has been a lifeline over the past few months as she's experienced homelessness.
Basically has made it so I don't hit rock bottom. I've been able to maintain a full-time job and get quality child care.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. We're heard on radio stations big and small. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.